check. Good evening, everyone. Wasn't that great worship? The last song was like awesome. I like that those words be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life, right? Yeah, I'm sure those, whenever we sing that song, I think those words really kind of minister to me. I'm sure God also, during the worship, ministers to all of us, right? So, am I audible? Okay. Just kind of choking. Yeah, today is... Thank you. Today is the day of prayer for our ministry. Worldwide, we kind of take this day out and kind of think of all our missionaries all over the world, right? So, how many of you read the prayer bulletin? I'm sure we all read it, right? this is one of our prayer requests. This is not now. This is like maybe some 3 to 4 years back when I read the prayer bulletin. And there was one pastor from Sudan. His prayer request finished with one word. I mean, if you read the bulletin, it's like our church also has given some request to pray for our completion of our church building, for the leadership and the summer harvest trip and Kakinada, the people who are persecuted. There was one request from a pastor from Sudan, and it was over in one word. I want you to kind of think and give me the answer. What could have been that prayer? Pastor? Disciples? Very close to that, because he was a missionary pastor. I think the work was in Juba in South Sudan, and that pastor finished his prayer request saying, souls. That was his prayer request, and that's it. He just mentioned souls, you know. So that's like unique about our ministry, right? We kind of our ministry, our church is a mission-based church, and we believe a lot in evangelism, bringing the good news to people. And it's not just in one place, but it is all over the world, right? So just for a brief thought today, I thought we should, I would speak on this subject of prayer, and the title of the message will be God Heard, God Remembered, God Looked, and God Acknowledged. I'll repeat it. God heard, God remembered, God looked, and God acknowledged. Can we turn to Exodus chapter 2? Exodus chapter 2, verses 23 to 25. Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. I'll read verse 23. Now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. Verse 24. Mark this in your Bibles. So God heard their groanings. This is the first point. God heard. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God remembered. Verse 25. And God looked upon the children of Israel. Mark that. God looked. And God acknowledged. God acknowledged them. Right? So that's the message. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering all of us. And thank you for this great day. We believe that you will speak to us and minister to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you like Pastor Tol when he is praying? I like how he closes the prayer. You know, he says, anoint your servant. I like that word, servant, when he prays. He's like, he says, let's bow down and let's like pray. But I really love it when he uses that word, servant, you know. That's like a pastor, a man of God is a servant first, you know. So I really love when he prays like that. These are the small things which we pick up. I think God like beautifully ministers during that time, and we pick up those small things, you know. So the first point which I want to speak is about God heard. And what a privilege it is that we have a God who actually hears us, right? And of course, the background to Exodus chapter 2 is the oppression of the people, God's chosen people, Israelites, when they are in Egypt. This is the background to Exodus chapter 2, and the people are like crying out to God. And in the meantime, God is like preparing a man, and that is Moses, right? So we'll pick those words and parallel it with the life of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, and kind of try to develop and allow God to like minister to us. So the first point is God heard, and I want us to turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, and I'll read it. Verse 46, it says, now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, then many warned him to be quiet, and he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49, so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, Bartimaeus. You know what? Jesus is calling you. Yeah? So Jesus heard the cry of this blind man. And what did Jesus hear? He heard that this Bartimaeus learned that Jesus is the one. He is the son of David, and he is crying out. And he is gathering the attention of Jesus, and he is crying out, not for a healing, but he's saying, have mercy on me. And that was his cry. And when Jesus hears that he is the one who is seen as the one who has shown him mercy, he's the one who is going to give him mercy. And this prompts Jesus to ask him for his miracle, right? It was Bartimaeus did not ask Jesus straight away, Jesus, heal me. No, he called out to Jesus and he's saying, son of David, have mercy on me. And when Jesus hears this, Jesus can't stop. He really has to come down. And that's exactly what Jesus did, right? So he calms everybody down. There are many people who are coming in the way and saying, hey, you're making noise here. We came to listen to Jesus. We did not come to listen to you. But Jesus is not saying that. Jesus knows the heart, and he knows the one who's really wanting to listen to Jesus, right? So here is Jesus and sends the people, and he says, call this guy to me. And then Jesus gives him this great request. He asks, verse 51, Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Right? So God, when he hears us, God is moved to stop. Can you imagine Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, God the Son? But because this one man, he cried out, he said, "Lord, have mercy on me." And Jesus just stood still. Has it happened any of our time when we, can we even think that when we said something and God could have stood still there and said, "Yes, you know what, these guys, Greater Grace guys, yeah, when they ask, I should be still." You know, and God, like, very beautifully, and then he kind of asks, "What can I do?" And we say, "Jesus, you know what? The first Wednesday of every month, we like pray for all our missionaries all over the world. And you have to listen to us." And God says, "No, I am going to listen to you. Come on, tell me what you guys want. Yeah, you want souls in new parts? The church in Azerbaijan is sending a young leader called Samir. It's there in the prayer bulletin, actually. So they are sending this person to, and there in Azerbaijan, there are people who are saying, "We want churches here." And when we all gather together and when we are like praying, "Hey, yeah, there is a man," and God is like preparing him, and there are people wanting that the church be formed there. Don't you think God is going to answer that? Yeah, he is definitely going to answer. When we ask, God really hears us, right? So, moving to the next point, God remembers. God remembers. In Exodus 2, it says, God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham, that he made with Isaac, and he made with Jacob, right? So, I think we heard about the call of Moses, how God like called him. And this is the same covenant which God is reminding Moses in Exodus chapter 3. He's saying, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." It is the same covenant. And God is saying, "I remember the covenant which I made with Abraham." What was the covenant God made with Abraham? And he says in Genesis 12, "I will make you," referring to Israel, "I'll make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make Israel's name great. You shall be a blessing." Verse 3, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Right? So God remembers the promise that he made to us, right? So we learned in Bible college a covenant. We learned about all the eight covenants. Once we were like surprised in Bible college, we were given an exam and we had to, it was like an extra credit question, and we had to write all the eight covenants, you know. So but this is what we learned. A covenant is like God initiating something. And because he initiates, he keeps it. And he doesn't break his own covenant. Because he initiated it, he keeps it. Right? So because of the virtue of Jesus Christ, because of we being placed in Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 8, today we are not bound by the Mosaic covenant, but we are bound by the new covenant. And Christ became the foundation. His death became the foundation for us to be bound by that new covenant. Right? So in the new covenant, God remembers not our sin. In this new covenant, there is no remembrance of our sin. The second point in this new covenant is that it is God who initiates everything in this. Yeah, if you read Hebrews chapter 8, it says God is saying, "I will do, I will do, I will do." And what a beautiful thing to know that our God remembers us based on the covenant that he made with us. And we are bound because of Jesus Christ. right? And God can never ever forget us, right? That is why Hebrews 13, he says that God can never, never forsake us. He will always remember us because of the covenant that he made with us, right? So the third point is God looked, and I want you all to turn to Matthew chapter 9 and verses 36 to verse 38. Verse 36 to verse 38. In verse 36 it says, "But when he saw the multitudes," mark those words, "when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd." Verse 37, "Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Right? This is a popular verse which we learn. We know this. And what is Jesus trying to say in this? And can you imagine Jesus was moved with compassion? What could have that been? I'm sure like God, when he saw the people who were like scattered, his own people, and when he saw the oppression on his own people, I'm sure that he was moved in his heart. I'm sure Jesus would have really wept as to what their condition has now become, right? What do we see today actually? Jesus saw in this verse 36, it says, Jesus saw. What do we see? We really see in this world, there is lots of deceit in this world, right? There are lots of lies in this world. There is no place left for truth actually. Be it any realm where we take, be it like the business realm, be it like the social realm, whatever it is, it's like lies are floating everywhere. There is deceit in everything in which people actually do. Right? So this is what we see. We see people who are lost. Do we really see when we go to Jayanagar? That is one thing which whenever I see Jayanagar, it's like so many people flooded, and we really can see lostness there. You know, people are like lost, just like getting out of the bus, going from one bus to the other. People like thronging to those colleges, to those schools. They just like go and they're just like lost. They have no direction. So this is what we see. Do we see like broken homes? It's like become so very common today to see like, you know, broken homes, father and mother like separated. We really see those things very common today. We see like young teenagers getting into drugs. I've really seen it 2 years back. I was really shocked. I didn't know that teenagers and the young age group is really kind of exposed to these things. You know, it is really not knowing. I mean, we could think that no, it's not that prevalent here, but these areas are like that. This is like so very common. This is what we see, and we see all these things. But there is a vision which we can also have, and that is the vision which Jesus Christ is saying. I see that these people are weary. These people are scattered, and they are like sheep without a shepherd. And that is where Jesus is like, he's like saying, the harvest truly is like plenty. Isn't it really plenty? That there are really in our country so many lost souls. We don't need to look outside to Sri Lanka also. It's like the real field is, it's like India is so big. And really there are many lost people in our country, right? And God is like, Jesus is like saying, can you enter into prayer? Can you think about it? That really people are kind of lost. And God wants us to channelize our priorities again. I see myself as priorities is getting, it's like priorities are not according to what God wants. And God is like, again, saying, you know, can you just get your priorities straight? And this is what God is seeing. And we can also pray that, God, I want to see the way you are seeing things. I don't want to see the way the world is seeing things. I don't want to lose that sight which you have. And that is why I come to church, so that I can have the same eye as you are seeing things. I don't want to have the eye which on my own I can see something, but I want to have that spiritual vision which you have. And I want to pray for that, that you will really kind of quicken me and raise me up. So the next point is, in closing, God acknowledged, God took notice. So this is the point where our God is not quiet. You know, when he sees, when he hears, and when he is remembered of the covenant that he has made with us, he really acknowledges us. And he goes to that level where he wants to do something now about it. Right in Exodus 2, when God really saw that, he raised Moses for the nation of Israel. Right? He gave prophets to the nation of Israel. God acknowledged and God did something about it. Right? When God saw the whole world lost and in sin, God did something about it. God sent Jesus Christ as a savior to the entire world. Right? So, in closing, our God really answers our prayers. He really hears us. He remembers us. He is mindful of us. He really sees us. He acknowledges who we are. And he does something about it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, God, for who you are to us. Thank you for teaching us the secret that we can come to you. We can be like little children. We can pray to you. We can ask you, and you will give to us. And maybe not settle for things which are temporal, Lord, but seek for those things which really are on your heart for this moment, for this year. Lord, we just thank you, God, for mobilizing us. Speak to us, Lord, the remainder of the service. Make us a people of prayer. Make us a people who will allow you to move in our midst. And help us, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.